Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Aina, do you know what the best feeling in the world is?
Is it beating a boss after messing up loads of times?
Could be.
Oh, no, wait. You know when you get a new skin in a game without having to buy it? I love that. Yeah. Oh, actually, blue shelling someone at the last minute and getting to win the race.
Very good options, all of them, those. Yeah, to be fair.
Well, not one of them.
No, for me, it's a time where you've got a new game all loaded up. You're ready to go. You're getting locked in. You've got a chocolate friend ready to give you a little power up, an energy boost before you get stuck in.
Okay, now we're talking, Steph. Especially if it's a solid slab of milk chocolate in between two crisp biscuits.
Oh, you know the one, Aina. It makes the world's most satisfying snap when you take a bite. It's got to be a pickup bar.
So good. Hey, do you go for the OG pickup? You know, the one in the blue box?
Oh, that is a classic. But I've been venturing out into the salted caramel one recently as well, just to a bit of variety, you know. There are a bunch of different flavours out there. Whichever one you go for, there's no better snack for when you're getting ready to pick up your controller and get going into a big gameplay sesh.
Mm-hmm. And they're super easy to eat as well. No chocolatey fingers all over your controllers. Yeah. All thanks to the two crisp biscuits hugging the chocolatey slab.
Absolutely. And you can find out more by just searching Pick Up Biscuits on your phone.
Pick up and go.
Now it is time to open up the pause menu of life, save whatever it is you're doing, and take a break to sit back, relax, and enjoy some quality time with all of the XC beasts right here in the Continue Club. Oh no, look, wait. It's a quick time event. Press B now. Well, look, well done, everybody. You've got through this together. This is a brand new episode of Press X to Continue, the gaming podcast that is perfect for all levels of experience. You could be a player that collects achievements like they're going out of fashion. You could be a player that picks up a title once in a while. You know, the football one or the shooty one. Maybe you just buy those every year. That's fine. You're all welcome. We're very glad that you are here with us in the Continue Club, or whether you want to call yourself an XC Beast, it is fine. I'm Stefan Powell, and with me once again is the actor, comedian, and streamer, Aynel Tomlinson, who I think is in the Continue Club.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Continue Club all the way. And I do like how you added a QTE event at the start of the pod as well. That's nice. There's people furiously like hitting their like mobile phones.
Wait, quick. Big shout out to producer David, who lovingly creates our introductions every week. He really puts time and effort into them, and I really enjoy it. Mm. Now, Press X is proudly sponsored by Pickup. Is it a chocolate biscuit bar? Is it a biscuit with chocolate? A chocolate with biscuits? It doesn't really matter because it's super tasty and it's a snack that helps you make the most of those unpredictable moments that gaming throws at you all the time. It helps you release tension, and we are really thankful to the team at Pickup for working with us, aren't we, Aina?
Indeed. And it doesn't matter, like you say, because I love biscuits and I love chocolate. So it's a win.
It's a win. Now, this week, we are again joined by the streamer, Geeky Cassie. Hello, Cassie. We're putting you straight into the spotlight this week. What is your unpopular opinion, please? No point mucking around. What is it?
I would like to publicly shame and punish people that cheat in games.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so publicly shaming people are cheating games. Talk to me about punishing. In what sense? Is the shame enough of a punishment?
Yeah. No. More. It depends on what the game is. And I would like to say, and this isn't, an ad for Press X to Continue, but also go and check out Press X to continue TikTok. But I was watching a TikTok clip of yours, and someone was talking about like smurfing or something. And I was like, you know what? 100%. Do you know what? If someone does something in the game, they should turn it into like this like blue little smurf thing that says you've done wrong and the people shall witness you and you shall be shamed and rocked. Okay. So then I was thinking about when I copied one of my games. I think it was like a Zelda game. I had to copy it onto another thing, and my character was called Thief for the rest of like the time that I played it. I couldn't even enjoy it. It was like a bitter taste in my mouth. And I can't remember what, I want to say it's like Link to the Past or Ocarina of Time. I can't remember. But if you copy it, you're not seen as, it calls you a thief. You're no longer a person. You're no longer a named individual. You're just as, and I felt dirty playing the game. So that I just restarted it. I was like, even though I'd copied my own game, I don't even want it anymore. And I would like to do that. Stop banning people, but shame them. Shame so them. Like add in maybe something in the game. Someone wants to continue playing like WoW after they did something in it. Okay, fine. For 4 months, you should be held on a plinth in the town square and people can shoot you and do things. Like, obviously, not in real life. Yeah, that's too much crazy. For now. Yeah, for now. Yeah. But, like, in the meantime, yes.
It was Link's Awakening, I think, Cassie, was the game you were looking for.
Thank you. Yes, it was. And I felt like it was really unnecessary. And then I started off like, I don't get out of here. Well, it's just a thief. And then I'd open it and be like, hello, thief. And after a while, it starts to break at you. It made me not want to do anything bad. So when my friends, and this it's how it impacted me in real life, when my friend went to Primark to go and cheat and steal, do you know what I did? I said, not for me, because I knew that Link had an effect on my life. So thank you for fixing it.
He taught you how to be a good moral human being as well.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And I think that if we did that in games, more people would do that. Okay. Let's do that.
I do remember, Cass. It was GTA 5 online. I don't know if they still do it, but when it first came out, they used to have a thing where if you kept cheating in games, the game would give you like a dunce cap. And like, and then you couldn't take it off. So your character couldn't take it off. So everybody knew if they saw you with that hat.
What
on,
you are.
They knew. They
yeah. That's good.
See, that's what I want.
That is good. Yeah. I mean, because I think shame is an interesting one, because you see a lot of clips on social media of people who play competitive shooting games who have got cheats enabled, and they get caught sometimes, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But of course, then they just change account and they start again. Mm. So it's interesting. If there was a way of, and also some people are shameless. They're like, yeah, well, I don't care. I cheat, but I make loads of money from it. So what are you going to do? So it is interesting. You think shame is going to be enough to change, to alter people's behavior?
Yeah, or at least the town square will have something to... We don't burn witches anymore, so what else do we have next? The shame the gamers, and that's what I'd like to see. I also think that you can become more creative. Maybe it could become a category of, like... Jeff Keighley, don't come and steal my ideas. But I would like someone to start... I'd like that to be, like, a thing. Who has the best shaming process for people that are cheating the game?
Yeah.
This doesn't apply to The Sims, because you have to cheat in The Sims to do anything in it.
There we are. So okay. The caveats are coming in now, right?
Just The Sims.
So you can't use that Rosebud cheat, and that's all right, is it?
Yes, that is. They sent me out a flyer for like The Sims, and they're like, "Here's how you play the game. Here's a cheat." I was like, "So you what are you encouraging?
Wow,
Sims lead you into jail? I'm not saying that, but you know, do you not agree with me?
I do, and I do like when games do it. I think, as I said, like off the top of my head, like GTA 5 is probably the best one because they would stick you into cheater lobbies. So everyone in the lobby would have the hat on. And so it's like,
amazing.
You'd have to there'd be like a call off period until the hat would come off and then you can go into the regular lobby.
That's so good.
Yeah. And I think any...
So you're surrounded by your people.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't know because like they'd go onto like websites and stuff. I was like, I got this cool hat, but I don't know how to take it off. And it's like, you can't.
It's not a cool hat, my friend.
Cheating.
I wish they could do something on, you know, a Football Manager back in the day when you could get like unlimited money. And I think you needed to devalue your achievements then. But yeah, there's something in this, Cassie, you know, to try and discourage people from cheating. Mm. We want people to play honestly. And look, let us know what you think of Cassie's unpopular opinion. Do you want to, are you on board? Do you want to do, you know, public shamings as well? Where we, throwing rotten veg.
I would love to do this.
Is that honestly a bit too far, maybe?
No, I think it's great. I think we should join together and make a game. I think all the things that we've discussed and all the things that I've heard on, like, the unpopular opinions and, like, going back. And also, I do like the fact that no matter when you listen to the podcast, it's still relevant. Like, if you go back to it, if we get all of this together and we make a game, winning.
You might think
I don't have money for it,
Compliments as well, Cassie, evergreen content.
Very good. Yeah, it's almost by design. Very good.
Was that a compliment?
Yeah,
you know I don't mean to do that.
Well, we're taking it as a compliment.
I take it back.
I know, you're taking that.
Worst thing I've ever
Are you taking that as a compliment? I know.
I've took it as a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah, right. Now, Cassie, I'm excited what you think about our next unpopular opinion, which comes from our unpopular opinions that come from the Discord and the TikTok. Get involved, share yours with us. Producer David put out there that there's nothing wrong with peeking at your opponent's screen to get their position in split screen multiplayer, especially in combat games. In competition, one must use all the tools available to them. And then Demi added, I was arguing with my partner about this the other day. He said I was cheating because I was looking at his screen in Mario Kart. Not my fault. I've got good peripheral vision.
Wait, okay. First of all, I now feel David should be watched. Second of all,
he's on a watch list.
Yeah,
he's on the Press X watch list.
Yes. Can we start creating it? Thank you. So, second of all, if it's Mario Kart, like, that's slightly different. But I feel like I told you this already, but we were raising money for a charity, and after playing the game, I think I did like maybe, I don't know, we got to the end. I hadn't been racing. I'd been running into a wall the whole time because I was looking at someone else thinking it was me. And so I think the sign there, the saying there is, watch your own car or you could be going into a wall.
It's catchy. It's certainly catchy, Cassie. It's got a ring to it.
Thank you.
Do you think it's okay to look at other people's screens when you're playing multiplayer? Do you agree with David and Demi or not? Let us know. I mean, if you want to win that way, fine. But can you look yourself in the mirror? Is the answer?
He needs a dunce hat.
Yeah. Right. Next time we do a live episode, Dave's rocking around in a dunce hat. Now Sam's been on. There's no point buying new games at full price. This is after our conversation of the day about sort of the finances of games and how expensive it is at the moment to keep up with the latest releases. Mm-hmm. She's saying games often go on offer quickly. Unless you finish it in the first few weeks, you might as well save some cash and hold on. So that's from Sam. Thank you very much for sharing that opinion with us. I think me and I know we kind of agreed with that, don't we?
Yeah, I will say there's like all the major platform holders, Steam, PlayStation, Nintendo, Xbox, they always have regular seasonal sales as well. Like summer sales, winter sales, spring sales. So like, you're always a couple of months away from the next one, if you can wait.
So good thinking, good sharing on the unpopular opinion there. Thank you very much. Now then, TikTok, it is trivia o'clock. And as ever, you get... Do you like that? Cassie, did you like that? You liked it, didn't you? Look, she's laughing. It is trivia o'clock. As ever, get your piece of trivia.
It was like monkey news.
Hey, no expense spared.
Can you do...
No expense. I used to love that podcast. By the way, she's referring to the old Ricky Gervais podcast from back in the day.
Yes, I loved it too.
Now, as ever, these pieces of trivia come to our team via Discord. You probably know the drill by now. There is a secret link that you can send your thoughts in. Interesting facts and quirks from the world of games that our team then craft into a trivia question. And, you know, there is a scoreboard. We don't really care about the scoreboard, do we? Do we? We don't really care. Einel's top of the scoreboard, so he kind of cares. Nobody else cares. So we had a Nintendo theme question last week. And also, by the way, there's no cheating here, just in light of our recent popular opinion discussions. No cheating here, no Googling, no using your phone, none of that going on, okay?
Well,
here's looking at you, Cassie, okay? Right.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Last week we had a Nintendo theme. This week we've also got a Nintendo theme. And the question is this. Which Nintendo character... We'll bring you the answer at the end of the podcast. Which Nintendo character was the subject of a lawsuit between the company and Universal Studios in the early 80s? This eventually led to the Kirby series being linked to the US civil rights movement. Which Nintendo character... It's complicated this week. Which Nintendo character was the subject of a lawsuit between Nintendo and Universal Studios in the 80s, and it eventually led to the Kirby series being linked to the US civil rights movement? I have no idea. I am.
And we're saying it's not Kirby.
None of the characters in Kirby are the answer.
None of the characters.
Which Nintendo character was the subject of a lawsuit between the company?
This is
Universal
a tricky
Studios.
One.
It's not Kirby, basically. Early 80s.
So I'm trying to think. Who was around then? Mario was around. Donkey Kong was around.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, what did Donkey Kong do?
I'm just going to guess one at random. Which characters did the Nintendo even have in the early 80s? Was he still called Jumpman or whatever?
No, I think it was Mario. I think Mario was like 89 or... No, Mario Brothers was like 84 or something like that. 84, 85.
Yeah, the 80s.
I feel like I'm going to go with Donkey Kong, but don't ask me my reasoning for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's see. We'll get to the answers at the end of the episode.
That's a tricky one.
It's a tricky question. Mm. What do you think it is? And now, Cassie, I owe you an apology, by the way. Because the last week's discussion around the answer of our trivia question, I said that you had 0.2% correct. That's wrong. We got our maths wrong. You're actually on 16.7% in the leaderboard. So that's much higher than you thought.
To be fair, I thought you said 20% before. So
I've
gone down.
Maybe I said 20. Anyway, we got it wrong because it was either 0.2 or 20. I got it wrong. The actual answer is 16.7. So just to...
Okay, so that's less than before. So I'd just like to say I'm not directing any anger towards anyone, but who corrected you on this?
Let's just move on from that, okay?
Is that person wearing a hat?
We're going back to remembering some of the
we're going to move on. Okay, we are talking about near perfect games, okay?
Okay.
Ooh. Because something sparked our attention from Reddit. And a user there called Master Q&A posted a thread that had a very simple question, and the thread was this: what is a 9.9 out of 10 game? These are games that basically you consider perfect, except they have one minor problem, which means they can't be scored 10 out of 10. What games are basically perfect, but one nagging thing means you can't give it 10 out of 10? A minor gripe that have ruined otherwise flawless games.
Like a tiny thing?
Well, a minor gripe. So whatever you think, what would take it from a 10 to a 9.9?
Oh, I would say Super Mario Odyssey was a 9.9 for me. And that point one is, it's just too easy. That's what it is.
It's too easy?
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was like a meaty challenge there for like people that have been playing games for a long time sort of thing. But otherwise, perfect.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, Aina likes a challenging game, to be fair.
Yeah. I don't mind playing an easy game, but, like, just add a little something there for, like Astrobot did was really cool with it, where it's a really easy game to play, but then it has, like, the challenge levels where they're super hard and, like, you spend, like, half an hour just trying to do one. And it's like, oh, yeah, I like that. It's like, I don't mind an easy game if it has also, like, difficult challenges and things, and Mario just didn't have that.
Okay, Mario Odyssey for Aynel. For me, I thought, obviously, when Cyberpunk 2077 first came out, it had loads of issues that meant you couldn't call it a perfect game by any stretch, right? But by the time by the time Phantom Liberty, the expansion came, and they basically, if they'd have released that in the first place, I think we'd have had a totally different experience with Cyberpunk, and for many people, it would have been a 10 out of 10 game. But for me, there's just too much noise on the minimap. There's too much noise.
Yeah.
Too many icons. Yeah. Just like slow it, and it just got on my wick in the end.
Even when you open them.
Do we just mean visually?
Yeah, well, also because I suffer from choice anxiety when it comes to games, Cassie, right? And I struggle. I'm going to do this now. Ooh, but what if I do that? It's part of the reason why I can't lock on to a game to play at the moment, because I'm too much like, ooh, yeah, my brain's like firing off in different directions. Maybe I've got ADHD, I don't know. Anyway.
right, the it's the pod where Stefan finds out.
There's just too much going on, and as a result of it, this is the game that it should have been. I can see this is genius. This is a work of genius, but though that minimap's just winding me up too much, so 9.9.
Good choice. Yeah, I'd agree with that as well.
What do you think, Cassie?
Yeah.
I'm stuck for choice. But I was trying to think. I know in previous episodes I've slated Persona 5, okay? My only problem with it is just the length of it. And is that a minor gripe or is that a big? I feel like this is a perfect game, but to me, like, it's just a little bit too long. Other than that, it would be perfect for me. It itches all parts of my brain. Yeah. I also want to say thank goodness you're here, but I actually don't know if it even takes off a minor, if it takes anything from it.
Whoa, what was the gripe? Because we love, thank goodness you're here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually don't know, because I have to take something off it, right?
Do you?
Do
maybe
you?
It could...
Then
that's just a 10 out of 10. All I was thinking is that what are 10 out of 10 games for me? And I think...
Well, interesting. I was thinking about this. Owen's message to say, Red Dead Redemption 2, way too hand-holdy in the missions and slightly overcommitted to the realism to the point of tedium at times. It got frustrating having to wait for animations to complete and having my wrist slapped with... John has died every time I tried to comb a location for secrets during a mission.
I don't know, I do see that. Like, Red Dead is such a great game, but when it comes to the mission structure, you have to do the missions how they want you to do it. And if you don't, if you deviate from that at any point, it's like, failed.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Because I think the game, if the game didn't offer you the exploration elsewhere, I could see that's frustrating, but it does.
Yeah. Well, I think Breath of the Wild had like a really good way of doing it. Like, there's missions and there's ways to solve the puzzles, but then you can try and solve it however you want to solve it. And as long as it's solved, it's solved. And I was like,
it's done.
Yeah.
Can I just add one more and really quickly? Fallout New Vegas. I really enjoyed that game. However, there was a point where my radiation was at 99%.
Oh, jeez.
And every time I forgot to save like further in. Oh. So my previous save was like 6 hours before something. Yeah. And every time I spawned back in, obviously, once I get to 100%, I'd die again. So I got stuck in a loop of being there and I just kept dying. And it was so frustrating because it was just like, and I could see the door that I could escape to. And if I'd got out of there, I would have been fine.
Save locked yourself.
So that was a problem.
Save locking. Is such a bad place to be, especially I find in strategy games when you're basically you load back in and you die again. It's like,
you feel so disappointed in the game.
I didn't realize that was the name of that.
Well, I'm going with it. I've enjoyed it. I'm enjoying that name. A couple of other suggestions, although that does sound like a you problem, not a game, not a Fallout problem, Cassie.
Wow.
No, it's a game.
It's not Fallout's fault that you haven't...
What was your next radiation.
That's your fault you didn't save the game often enough, isn't it? That's not Fallout's fault.
What were you going to say? What was the next one?
Right, we've had some of the other suggestions that were on this post on Reddit. Someone else said The Witcher 3...
What's the problem with that?
The only gripe I have is the combat. Oftentimes when I do a short swing, Geralt does a long lunge and I end up getting hit. If the movement was less clunky, it would be a 10 out of 10. Interesting. Someone else said the Breath of the Wild inventory system was set up in a 5x3 grid, but the armour came in set to 3, so they could only be organised horizontally. That is minor, but I love it.
That's an OCD thing.
Bioshock was a masterpiece, except for having to do a stupid hacking minigame 100 times over.
I love the hacking minigame in Bioshock. My problem with Bioshock is, okay, again, it might be self-inflicted. I played half of the game without realizing that I could run. So then I got mocked for me, and they called it walking simulator for me because I'd been walking everywhere. No, okay, never mind, carry on.
Well, look, let us know what your favourite 10 out of 10 games are, but ones you actually had to score 9.9 because there was something small just bugging you and you couldn't get over it. Share it in the Discord, get involved on social media. We would love to get your thoughts as well, and we'll talk about it again in a few weeks. Now, we want to talk about the best plot twists in a game. Just saying, there will be spoilers here for some of these games. It's pretty spoiler heavy. So we're going to play a little jingle in a moment that's going to tell you all of the games we're going to talk about and what time to skip to if you want to avoid the spoilers for them. So if you're playing any of them at the moment and you don't want them spoiled, then you can just jump forward when we've already talked about it. And that's all going to be explained in this little jingle by our lovely editor, Cammy. Take it away, Cammy.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Don't go past this point if you don't like spoilers. Hi guys, Owen here. Sorry, Steph, it's me, not Cammy. Listen, Steph said we're going to list all the games that we talk about. I'm not going to do that because I don't want you playing those games thinking that there's a twist coming up. What I will say is they're all a few years old at least. Some are absolutely ancient, so we're not covering anything really new. Listen at your own peril. If you don't want to hear any spoilers, jump ahead to 30 minutes and 30 seconds and you'll be safe and spoiler free. Okay, bye.
Thank you very much, Cammy. So, you've been warned now, okay? We've got spoilers for those games coming up. So I'm going to give you a couple more seconds just to make sure that you are not worried about spoilers. So here we go then. Best plot twists in games. And let's go through them in the rundown of order. Infamous. The plot twist in Infamous. Kessler is future you. That's one of them. Heavy Rain, the origami killer reveal.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That was good.
That was a good one.
I, Nell and Cammy are nodding to that one. Telltale's The Walking Dead, when Lee gets bit.
Yeah, that one.
Just pulled, tugged at the old heartstrings, that one, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
Season one as well.
This one I loved, okay. In Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, when you find out you are Darth Raven.
I haven't played that, but I would love that.
Oh, it's so good.
I think that was like the first like Star Wars RPG where you could become a Jedi. I can't remember. Like, you even, like, all the other games, you could just play in them.
Oh, no, I see what you mean. I mean, as in like, fight
in
with
terms
a lightsaber.
Of just like wielding a lightsaber.
Yeah, sorry, excuse me. Yeah.
Because
until then, it was like Rogue Squadron, wasn't it? It was like the big. Yeah. Was the big Star Wars game.
So there were Star Wars games, but like it was the first proper one where it's like you become a Jedi. And that's like, oh.
The next couple coming up are some of my favourites. So the original Red Dead Redemption, when John Marston dies. What a twist. I wrote an article about this because I shed tears at the end of that. Because what's genius about that moment, in my opinion, is why it's such a good plot twist, is because you're playing the end, but you can't change the outcome. So I tried to replay it a couple of times, be like, okay, fine, I just got to do it better. And then it was like the second or third playthrough, and I was like, oh, wait.
He's supposed to.
I'm supposed to die.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And I found that because it messes with the whole gaming dynamic that you are all powerful and in control. Loved that. BioShock. What did you feel about this one? Would you kindly?
I don't think I ever finished BioShock. So
did you not finish BioShock?
I finished it, but I was...
Not sticking with you?
Oh!
Not sticking with you? No. What about a Silent Hill 2 twist where we find out that the village was never real?
Oh, damn.
None of these resonated?
This one is
Resident Evil Village when Ethan Winters dies. That's a big, big plot twist. Good.
Yeah.
Good
plot twist.
Didn't like him, gone. Yeah. However, this next one, and my final one, and we want to know what your favourite one is from all of these, by the way, so get involved, send us your thoughts. In Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and I was so... I threw my mouse at the screen when this happened, because I played this one on PC. When General Shepard turns and he says, one less loose end, and he shoots you in the face... Like, holy Moses, what a moment that was. That for me was like, almost to the moment where Metal Gear made me realize games could be like cinema. This, like, oh yeah, this is like cinema. That was good.
That was a good one. I've got one.
Okay, what have you got?
Prince of Persia. It was the 2008 one. and reason why I like this one is because it's a game where you can't really die because you have this princess that's with you. It's like she's always holding your hand and she helps you like make the jumps and run rule one and all of these things. Right at the end of the game, in order to stop the evil from coming out, basically the princess dies and you have to destroy everything that you did in order to bring her back. So you can either stop the game and have the princess die.
Oh my gosh.
Or you can bring the princess back, but unleash all the evil that you just spent the entire game trying to.
Love it.
And when you do.
What did you choose?
Oh, if you choose to bring her back, she's upset about it. She's angry because you spent the entire game trying to do it. And basically, the game starts again. It's like, oh, you're back to the beginning.
Good twist. That's a good twist. We love a good twist.
Yeah, great one.
That game, was it 12 to midnight?
Yeah. Did you like Twisty. That? Did you like that? Because a lot of people that was expecting to go down big time and people actually didn't enjoy it, did they?
If you ever get Shay and I together, we have very conflicting and passionate ideas about this. She hates it. I thought it was great until I didn't. But the thing is that, like, I don't think you could have spoiled. You can't put trigger warnings in front for some games because that's the whole premise of the game. Yeah. So once you've done it, you've ruined it. But I that twist was like, why am I watching Old Boy? What's going on?
We'll have to get you both on to talk with that. So look, let us know of your favourite twists in video games. You mentioned some of the big ones there. Which are your favourite? And look, if you're going to post about it, maybe be cryptic. You know, like the thing that happens in the cowboy game. Or the bit in Call of Duty when, you know what, nudge, 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 you know, that sort of thing. Let us know what you think and we'll reflect on it in future because we love a good twist. I love a good twist in a game.
Yeah.
I love a good twist in movies as well. Saw. Remember when you watched Saw and he was like, oh, it's him all along, what?
Like the best ones are the ones that make you go online afterwards and start looking. Hey, what did everybody else think about it?
Yeah. After watching Memento, I was there for like 7 hours just like Googling. What happened? Doesn't make sense.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Here, have you ever played Castlevania Symphony of the Night? You know that bit that goes,
die, monster! You don't belong in this world!
It was not by my hand that I am once again given flesh. I was called here by humans who wish to pay me tribute.
Tribute? You steal men's souls and make them your slaves!
Perhaps the same could be said of all religions.
Your words are as empty as your soul! Mankind ill needs a savior such as you.
What is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets. But enough talk. Have at you.
Yeah, well, this has nothing to do with it. There's no GTA 6 news, sorry.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Okay, it's time now for the Press X Biscuit Break brought to you by Pickup.
Yep, this is the part of the podcast where we take a moment to re-energize before going again.
I'm back on the hazelnut, I know. Nice. I'm back on the hazelnut.
Back
I know
on it.
Salted caramel's looking at me, okay? But I do like the hazelnut. So
okay, that's you. That's you.
That is me. That is me this week.
We're going to discuss the games that you could play when taking 5 minutes out to get yourself back on track. Give yourself a little boost before going and taking on the world once again. Something you can play while you're enjoying your snack. Your choice this week, Steph, what is it?
Yeah, no, you did a very good choice last week, Anna, so I felt under pressure this week, and I've gone with a banger, right? This slaps. It's Monument Valley 3. It's basically, if you don't know what Monument Valley is, it's like playing a work of art. It's a puzzle game, and you sort of got this amazing top-down view, and you spin the map around as your character traverses it. It's beautiful. It looks amazing. The music, you've got to play with your earphones in, because the music's wonderful as well. Now, this is the third in the series, obviously. I gelled with the first two more than the third one, but I feel like there are some developments in the third one that stretch it in a nice way, which makes it worth playing. Oh. So Monument Valley 3, it's the perfect way to get inspired, get re-energized, and get ready to go again into the world. So definitely give Monument Valley 3 a go, and you can get it on Netflix.
Oh, nice. Worth playing if I've played 1 and 2?
Absolutely worth playing if you've played 1 and 2. All right, definitely. Then. And if you haven't played those either, you can just hop in. You don't really need to play the first two either.
Okay. Well, you know what, Stefan? You've redeemed yourself this
week. Yes, I have.
You've redeemed yourself, mate.
Come on.
It's going to be back to me next week, though.
absolutely. So, yeah, so Monument Valley 3, a perfect way to rebalance your mentals. So, listen, thank you very much for being with us for the Press X to Continue Biscuit Break.
Brought to you by Picker.
Right.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A review. It's a big one, Inel. It's gone down a storm. We've been asking for more games for the Nintendo Switch 2. Here is one of them. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Oh, yeah.
Banana.
And people are going wild for this. So what is it, Inel? What type of game is it? Who is it for? Do you like it? Because the last one you reviewed, you were unsure of. What are you saying about this?
Yeah, this... I always say, like, with Nintendo, I said this about Mario Kart World, like, the impossible sequel. And, like, after playing, like, Astro Bot last year on PlayStation, I was like, this is, like, the perfect platform game. It's amazing. Mm. Everyone loves it. There's very few flaws. I was like, I don't know how Nintendo is going to top a game that, which Astro Bot was almost like a complimentary kind of game to. And I was like, oh, well, how are they going to do it? And Donkey Kong is different in such a strange way. It's not a traditional platform game. You barely do any jumping, really. It's all about smashing the terrain and just like plowing your way through. And that simple mechanic of just punching the wall and being able to go anywhere you want is so fun. It's just super fun. And what the Nintendo do is they kind of layer it. They give you like, okay, you can punch and break anything. Now, here's a little power-up that allows you to break things even more. Here's a little power-up that allows you to change different materials. Here's this. And it's not in the same traditional vein as Mario. Like, don't think of it as like a Mario game. It's different. And that's why I say it's different, because you can literally climb anywhere, crawl anywhere, go underground, go up high. And the game has very little restrictions, but it's so like, it's the level design is so good, even though you can go anywhere.
Yeah,
it sounds like an oxymoron.
Interesting. But like, it does drive you along a narrative. Do you just get lost
so fast? This game introduces stuff to you constantly. You're jumping into new levels all the time. I felt like in the first like 6 hours of playing, I was like, am I going too fast? Because like every like 10 minutes, I'm in a new world, and I'm like,
okay,
should I go back to the old world and collect stuff? And you can go back to the old world and collect stuff. But like, it keeps pushing you. Like, the whole point of the game is to go from the top of the world to the core of it, and you're just constantly burrowing your way down. And you're going down so quickly. In like 6 hours, you've probably gone to like 8 different places. I'm like, am I going to finish this game soon? And then the game just keeps expanding, introducing new ideas, new concepts, new puzzle dynamics. The game gets more difficult, and I'm like, yo, how are Nintendo doing this?
So this is interesting, because I've been thinking, Inel, about maybe like a traditional platform game, whether going back to Mario Odyssey or whether it's Mario Kart, or whether it's Donkey Kong Bonanza, as my, so you know, I'm struggling to find a game that I'm just like, I'm bouncing off games at the moment like crazy, and I want something that just like just keeps pulling me back. That's not Mario Kart. Could this be it?
This is perfect. Do you know what, Steph? I've been playing this game for about 20 minutes a day. That's it. I just like pick it up, and I'll play through a little level. And as I said, like because you're progressing so fast, you can go through like a world in about 20 minutes if you wanted, or you can spend like 3 hours there because there's so many different things to unlock. And they've kind of done like the Mario Odyssey thing where there's lots of collectibles in this. I think there's like over 700 bananas. I think I've been playing the game for about 15 hours. I've only got 300. And it's like, what? There's bananas everywhere, but at the same time, it's like, what? Yeah, there's that many?
I think I'm going to do it. It's got a Metacritic score of 91. I've got 2 weeks away from home coming up, filming away from home.
Love it.
And I think I'm going to need something new on my Switch. I love it, Mario Kart, but I need to mix it up. And I was thinking of going back to something, but maybe this could be it. Are you in? Cassie's got a Metacritic score of 91. People are loving it. Ainel's loving it.
I'm 100% in. Like, I'm so sorry. I started looking on to shopping. Like, he was doing that. I was like, Nintendo. I'm about to get an alert from Monzo that says declined, but we're going to see what we can do.
It's 58 quid.
We can move
quid.
The money around.
Yeah.
It's £58. Maybe I'll get it on Friday.
£65. Maybe I'll get payday. Payday. Could be a payday purchase.
I will say it's very different to older Donkey Kong games. If like the last Kong game was like Tropical... Freeze on the Nintendo Switch and the Wii U, that was the last one, plays very different to that. Like, it plays very different to a Mario game, but it feels like it's made by like the Mario Odyssey team, and some of the UI stuff will remind you of that, but like it plays very differently to a traditional platform game. It's more about punching and breaking things.
Yeah.
See, that's me. That's my vibe. I don't want to jump.
Yeah, it sounds great. So like I said, 58 quid on the eShop, 65 quid on Amazon Argos, big Metacritic score, big thumbs up from Ainel. So that is Donkey Kong Bonanza. Let us know what you think about it in the Discord, on social media. Is that going to be one of the games you spend a lot of money on and you delve in on cheaper ones elsewhere? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Okay. Now, we've had a bit of a break from the Spotify playlist. We will be coming back to that next episode, I promise, okay, with an update and maybe plans for like the Press X curated one and then the just chuck it all in one. Maybe we'll do something like that. Okay, so we're going to come back to you. It's because we've got some great suggestions coming in.
Chuck some stuff in there,
and I don't want to ignore them. I'm seeing them. Don't you worry. I'm going to come back to it. But right, let's bring you the answer to this week's question again. Isaac from Lost in Cult with these Nintendo gems last week and this week.
Yeah.
Submitted in the Discord. The question was this: which Nintendo character was the subject of a lawsuit between the company and Universal Studios in the early 1980s. It eventually led to the Kirby series being linked to the US civil rights movement. You suggested Donkey Kong, Cassie, and I think thinking about it, and given the back part of that sentence, I think you are probably right. So I think I'm going to say that as well. I know.
All I can think of is King Kong. Yeah. I don't know who produced it.
So let's see. So a bit of a serious answer here. So it is Donkey Kong. So we've got it right. Universal argued that Donkey Kong infringed their copyright of King Kong. Nintendo won the case, and the lawyer that defended them was also the lawyer that uncovered evidence that African-American citizens were being prevented from voting in Mississippi in 1962. What a legend. The evidence eventually led to the creation of the Voting Rights Act 3 years later. He was also one of the chaperones to the first black student to enroll in a white public school in Alabama. His name was John Kirby, and Shigeru Miyamoto later said that Kirby wasn't specifically named after John Kirby, but that Kirby was on a list of possible names when they realised and they decided it would be a nice connection.
That's lovely, but also very random.
Yeah, but we love random questions here on Press X. Which means that all of our scores on the leaderboard are going to be shooting up here.
Yes. Hey, listen, Isaac can send in them questions.
Yeah, keep sending them, Isaac, because we're getting them right now.
I feel like you taught me something. I've walked away with thoughts and vindication from this, so I appreciate it.
Very good. 37.5% Cassie now sits at 1.5 out of 4.
Big percentages, you know.
Thank you.
Aynel is at 28%. Stefan is up now to a respectable 20.7%. So, I'm taking it. We're getting better week by week.
We are.
Cassie, it's been a joy to have you here, and no chat Nintendo Love Island this week. So fans of that will be disappointed, but come back another time when we will get into the weeds of Peach and Bowser's relationship. But that is it for this episode of Press X to Continue. Don't forget to get involved in the Discord. Links in the description of the podcast. Press X Pod on TikTok, Press X Podcast on Instagram, and we will see you next Tuesday for some more fun. All the best,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.